How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Welcome into the Locked On Celtics podcast here with the reigning Jays. I am your host, riding solo this evening, Sam Jam Packard. It was such a confusing and stunning game. I can't even speak right now. The fact that the Boston Celtics won Game 3 over the Cleveland Cavaliers 111-108 on an Avery Bradley buzzer beater that just rolled around the rim and was able to drop in the final seconds. The Celtics playing without their best player, Isaiah Thomas. They come out, they limit to the Cavs to only 42 points in the second half. They come back from what was, I believe, a 20-point deficit in the first half, and they win this ball game. Just a stunning turn of events. I was watching the game just kind of with my mouth ajar the entire time, just kind of confused about how the Celtics were marching their way back, and it was a slow kind of prodding process. I know Brad Stevens, his favorite metaphor is to kind of you just got to hit singles and chip away, and that's kind of exactly what the Celtics did tonight. A huge deficit at halftime, but they really played the better basketball in the second half, and that really started with the play of Marcus Smart. I mean, it feels like here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, we've talked about Marcus Smart for probably 50% of the airtime, whether it's him having an amazing game in his classic hashtag impacts winning or him doing dumb things. Tonight, Marcus was amazing. It was his best game of his career. He finished with 27 points, and a 7 from 10 from beyond the arc, and he was hitting the kind of dumb Marcus Smart threes that he's been taking all the year. Just this time, they happened to go in for him, but he's also great playmaking, also finished with 7 assists tonight, 5 rebounds, just an all-around great game. The thing that really changed for the Celtics was their, and I think this was led by Marcus Smart, was the kind of the defensive intensity and the physicality that they showed in the second half. And it's not like that they had a huge change schematically. It just felt like the toughness increased and the easier shots for the Cavs were not available. But in the first half, it was downright unfair. The Cavs came out and just made pretty much every single shot they took. They opened the game 14 of 22 from beyond the arc. Kevin Love, oh my God, I hate that guy. Kevin Love started the game 5 for 5. At one point was 7 for 10 from deep. Kyrie was 4 for 4. J.R. Smith was 2 for 2. The Cavs in the first half actually had a better shooting percentage. I think it was around 60% than they did in the first two games, which they completely blew out the Celtics. This really felt like, oh, Lord, this is just kind of walking down the same road we saw in Games 1 and Game 2. But no, the Celtics had a really good answer, and it was kind of they got buckets from as they turned up the defensive intensity, they got buckets from everyone on the team. No one had an amazing performance in terms of kind of putting up the stats. Avery Bradley had 20 points, including that the huge three at the end of the game to win it. Jay Crowder had 14 points, was 2-for-8 from deep. Not the best Jay Crowder game, but he also led the team in rebounds, 11 points. I thought he was really solid on the defensive end, and he was stopping LeBron James. Here's the thing is this game doesn't happen. The Celtics comeback doesn't happen if LeBron James plays it all to the level we know he can play. But tonight it was just one of those bad LeBron James games, which frankly I didn't think was a thing anymore. But it's something that is, he just didn't look that engaged in the second half. In the second half, he played for 22 minutes, only took 8 shots, scored 3 points, had 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 3 turnovers. I don't know if the Celtics simply, I mean, if the Cavs simply didn't respect the Celtics and just kind of let them walk back in. I don't know why LeBron came out that way. He didn't really have the best answer after the game. He just said that he didn't have it tonight, and that's all he had to say about his performance. It was downright confusing. You would expected LeBron to kind of just be able to kill the Celtics at any time. That's what he did in games 1 and game 2. But tonight, it's just in the second half, it wasn't there. It was a lot of the Cavs trying to get the ball to Kyrie Irving and having him try and start offense. I thought Avery Bradley did a great job defending Kyrie, especially late. And then the shots that were falling for the Cavs in the first half, all those kind of wild threes, it just didn't happen for them in the second half. They finished the game 6 of 39 from three-point land. The Celtics actually, they had a great three-point shooting performance. They actually finished with more threes with a higher percentage, 18 for 40. So it was really a tale of two halves. And one of the kind of the bigger spark plugs for the Celtics, and got to give a shout to B-Rob, Celtics Hub, who's been saying start the Swede from I don't know how long, but Jonas Jerebko came in and had a huge impact off the bench. Just was the kind of high-energy guy. And it makes sense. We all knew the kind of playoff Jerebko. His moment was coming. It's happened in each of the past 2 years. And it doesn't really make sense why he hasn't gotten more playing time in the season or in the series, given the Cavs' size. But he really was amazing tonight. He was 2 of 2 from three-point range, scored 10 points, had the huge basket late. It was a tie game. Avery Bradley dribbles in. It felt like all 5 Cavs kind of collapsed on him. And he kicked it out to Jonas, who knocked down a 2. I thought it was a long 3. I thought it was a 3 at that point. So I was kind of super excited because I thought the Celtics were up 3. Actually a long 2, but it ended up being a huge play. And the quick shot allowed the Celtics to come back in 2-for-1 and actually have that long or that opportunity for Avery Bradley after Kyrie Irving came down and tied the game. There was still 10 seconds left on the clock. So I thought an amazing performance by Jonas Jerebko, and I expect him to start in game 4. I got to be honest, folks, I don't think this game changes the series. I still think the Cavs are probably going to win in 5 games, but just kind of for how low the Celtics were and kind of Celtics Nation was after game 2, getting blown out by 44 points, it was just amazing to see them come back in this game, never quit, and get the win. And right now I got to give the biggest shout-out in the world to Al Horford for getting the LeBron James playoff monkey off his back. This man was 0-for-14 against LeBron James in the playoffs. And if you haven't watched Abby Chin's interview with him immediately after the game in the tunnel, it's kind of the most emotion we've seen Al Horford have all year. He was jacked up. It was just completely unfiltered. It was amazing to see. That's like, as one of the biggest Al Horford fans there is, that's got to be just an amazing moment to finally beat LeBron James in the playoffs. I know 1-for-14 isn't the best of records, but you know what? I got to give my congratulations to Al Horford because that's just got to, it's got to bruise your ego. And for a man that talented, that good looking, for him to kind of get over that is very important. That about sums it up for my game thoughts tonight. I'm going to go see what you guys said on the Reigning Jays hashtag. And then before closing up with a solo edition of GM's Junk Drawer, I just really appreciate you guys out there using the hashtag Reigning Jays. That's Reigning without a G, Jays. Tweet us during the game. We'll definitely use some of your tweets in the post game. So here's kind of the best from tonight. Let's see. Oh, that one's a good GIF. It's just a solid GIF of a panda. I'm sorry, Ron Rosales. This is a podcast. I can't describe it, but it's just waiting for the Cavs to miss a shot. You're right. It was absurd in the first quarter. I just didn't know what was going to happen. Daniel Reifse, the mainest man. Why have we been saving Jerebko for so long? It didn't make sense to me. One of my post-game notes in game one was, what did Jerebko do to Brad Stevens to deserve this face, to get a DNP when everyone else is not playing? I don't really understand it. Brian Keller, fuck everyone that went to bed early. Some people got work tomorrow, Brian. It's not their fault, but I like your enthusiasm. JMP71 at Mark Pacheco 71. More expletives. Then he says, FU 98.5, C's never give up. I haven't listened to 98.5 in probably 9 months, but sure. Let's blame them. The Celtics won. They don't know anything. All right. At Gates Ben, Avery Bradley, if you don't know, now you know. Chris Forsberg actually tweeted out an amazing stat tonight that he only has two buzzer beaters, I believe, in his career, and they both happened in Cleveland in the queue. So, amazing moment for Avery Bradley. Then I got to give another shout out to Millies, who was on stage actually during the Celtics game. He was probably like most Celtics fans and thought this game was kind of a done deal. I described this game before the in a tweet. I kind of woke up the morning of the game and thought watching this was going to be like seppuku. The Japanese samurai art of suicide, honorable suicide, just because I thought it was going to be painful, but there's going to be honor in watching it. But no, we were rewarded. I had to respond to Millies when he asked what happened. It was Marcus Smart, Jonas Jerebko, Avery Bradley with luck, and then LeBron James is not playing LeBron James. Let's see. O-Dog 25. My thoughts in that game could be desperately described with these four words. No, 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 yes. That's basically what you said every single time Marcus took a three-point shot. That's what we've been saying with Marcus all season. It was a wild Marcus performance. He didn't. None of those threes were remotely good shots. He took a lot of above the break threes. He took some contested threes in the corners, but they went in, and he kind of rose to that moment. And I know it's the most cliche thing in the world, but he impacts winning. It's just an amazing performance for Marcus Smart. I have no idea what they're going to do with him. I'm sure the Reigning Jays will get into this in-depth drastically. And make sure you tune into an episode tomorrow. It's going to be Jay King in a discussion with Cap Guru Danger Cart about kind of what the Celtics can do this offseason. And I'm sure they're going to talk about the kind of what the Celtics do with this kind of full backcourt we're anticipating with Markelle Fultz, Isaiah Thomas, who did not play tonight, Avery Bradley, who had a lot of great plays and was really the only one carrying the offense early on. It's really going to be, there's a little debate on my timeline. My mentions got filled up tonight because I asked what Avery Bradley is going to make this offseason, and answers ranged from like $16 million to a full max deal. So who knows what's going to happen with the Celtics kind of three guard situation, but it's going to be interesting to see Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas, all going to be up at the same time. Finally, we're going to have this last two Twitter comments using the hashtag RainingJays at Jesse_Diampolo. Shout out to the dude who's been anonymously emailing Jay King calling for Jonas Jerebko to play. That guy's a legend. That guy's fantastic. If you want to spend your time creating fake emails, emailing Jay King Celtics tips, I say more power to you. I think Jay King needs more creepy emails in his inbox at all times, especially if they're about Jonas Jerebko. So shouts to that guy. Last one from M. Banasik. Curious, how many wins against the Cavs do the Wizards have this postseason? I love this question because Wizards fans after game one and game two were all up in the videos. Just, oh man, they were cocky talking about how, and it's not even just Wizards fans, it was Wizards players, Bradley Beal, talking about how the Cavs were scared of them. This, the Cavs, they would never lose this bad to the Cavs. And it's such a kind of stupid game for them to play because it's like, it's completely non-falsifiable. And they had seven games to prove this. If they really were the better team, they shouldn't give up the giant lead they had in game one. They shouldn't give up the giant lead they had in game two. They shouldn't give up 53 points to Isaiah Thomas. Hey, Bradley Beal, you had a chance to kind of win the game in game two and hit a wide open 11-foot jump shot. You didn't do that. Yeah, there was chances in game sevens. I realize there's arguments to be made. I completely disagree with them that the Wizards are a better team or that they have more top flight talent, but it's just you can't complain when you lose the 7-game series and kind of lose handily in that 7th game. It wasn't close, so it's nice for them to just kind of get their mild comeuppance. There's one thing that really kind of didn't make any sense to me today on Twitter. Clinton Yates of ESPN Undefeated, someone whose work I respect a lot. Actually, one of my favorite podcasts was him on Richard Deitch's media podcast, kind of talking about becoming a newspaper reporter in DC area. It was fascinating to me. And then, but for him to come with one of the most nonsense takes today that I've ever heard, he was trying to argue that the Wizards are better set up for the future than the Boston Celtics, and the team that just got the number one draft pick, the team that drafted Jaylen Brown next year, the team that has or can get full cap space. He was trying to argue that the Washington Wizards have a better situation moving forward, and I just don't see the logic there. They're going to have to lock up Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, and John Wall to max contracts, all three of them. They traded away their first-round draft pick to get Bojan. They signed Jan Mahimi to $16 million a year. That's one of the worst contracts in the NBA. After the season, Marcin Gortat was basically just clamoring for a trade, saying he wanted to reconsider his position there when he's not a free agent. So that one just didn't make sense to me. So it's been nice for the Wizards fans to get their comeuppance. And this was when the Celtics were down by like 22 points in the first half. That was going to be the theme of the entire podcast, was just me trying to shit on Wizards fans. So I'm glad that this could kind of be a back burner issue. And then the last point I wanted to get to before we get to the junk drawers, something Celtics fans' favorite, Matt Moore from CBS Sports. I can't even pronounce what his actual handle is, and that makes me a dummy. It's been something I just never been able to say out loud for a while, so I'm just going to say Matt Moore. You all know who I'm talking about. He's been strumming the drum for that the Celtics are better without Isaiah Thomas. And it's an interesting argument to be made, because tonight they looked like a lot better team. You've seen the kind of advanced numbers that the net rating is better when he's off the floor. He definitely got attacked defensively in the first two games by the Cavaliers. Matt's main argument tonight is that the Celtics' offense kind of looked a lot better. It was a lot more fluid without kind of the focus being on Isaiah Thomas. I think there's some merits to that argument. I definitely, when Isaiah was less of a focal point, the kind of the key to the Celtics' offense was everyone scoring 12 points. Kind of just great ball movement, Spurs-esque ball movement. At the same time, I just don't see the Celtics offense. I feel like they have a higher ceiling with Isaiah going off than they do normally. And so it's kind of a question of how you'd want to better build your team. But I think to really get to the high point totals and for their offense to be at its best, I think it's kind of Isaiah scoring more than 30 points and then the team coming in around him. I think there's an argument to be made that kind of the better, more general approach could be kind of that kind of flowing offense, going passing through the post. We saw them try to go to Horford in the post and try to get contributions from everyone. I get the argument that maybe the offense seems a little better. The defense definitely much better without Isaiah. I don't think that's a huge shock. But I think there's more nuance to the argument. I don't think you can say either way that demonstrably the team is better without him, they're better with him. As much as the folks on Sports Talk Radio, they're going to have that debate tomorrow or today when you're listening to this. Those takes are coming. I just think that it's a little bit harder to kind of slice the issue than that. I think the Cavs are, and Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com mentioned this during the game. There's some nuance there. The Cavs are a terrible matchup for Isaiah Thomas. The Cavs are a giant team. Everyone on their team is just a very large human being. They may not be the Monstars, but they got bodies like Monstars. And it's just, for Isaiah, it hurts him both on the offensive and defensive end of the floor. It felt like in game one or two, they were not trapping him as much or more letting him get free range at the basket, knowing that their larger bodies can contest the rim. And him especially playing with that torn labrum in his hip wasn't able to kind of have that same explosiveness. And then on the defensive end, they were really doing their most to get him in pick and roll, get him in the post. So I can see that the Cavs are not a very good matchup for him. On the other side, I just don't think the Celtics, one, get the number one seed, get 53 wins, get past the Wizards if they don't have Isaiah Thomas. So I think he's easily the best player on their team. He's very important to their team. He did amazing things for this entire year. And to not, kind of not recognize his accomplishments in that would be downright stupid, to kind of come out like Tony Maz did and say he quit on the team. Is one of the most like trolling classic Tony Maz moves in the world. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. He played through this torn labrum in his hip since March 15th in a game against the Timberwolves. He missed two games after that and then came back and played the rest of the season. He played in the game a day after his sister unfortunately passed away. He played through his teeth getting knocked out, through 14 hours of dental surgery. For him to kind of even suggest that the Celtics quit before the game is absolutely absurd. And it's just, I hope people call into his show from 2 to 6 tomorrow and just rip him a new one for ever sending out the tweet saying that Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics quit, because that's absolutely baloney. Now, for what the Celtics are going to do moving forward, definitely tune in to Reigning Jays with the on Locked On Celtics podcast, because we're going to be debating this all offseason, pretty much every day up into the draft. I said I didn't want to get into reckless trade rumors, but you know what? This is Twitter. This is how the NBA goes. So we'll be getting into those definitely moving forward. And the question of whether or not to max out Isaiah, the question of what to do with Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, the number one draft pick, is going to be very interesting moving forward. So definitely make sure to check out our episodes. Please subscribe. Give us a rating, 5 stars. You can listen to us on however you listen to podcasts. I would assume that's iTunes for those people who use Androids. I was once like you. I don't understand it, but we have a system for you. The TuneIn Radio app, Stitcher, Google Play, I think even. So there you go. Please subscribe. Give us 5 stars. It's really helpful for us. oh, man. I don't know how people do it. I've been talking for a good while now, and I the throat's about to clear up, but we're, you know what? Going to power through. Going to fight through just like these here Boston Celtics, and hit them with a little Jams junk drawer. Definitely going to be sans music tonight, so you're just going to have to go with the flow of my voice. Boom. First quarter. Tristan Thompson pulls on Amir Johnson's shoulder a little bit. I'm not saying it was a dirty play, but I'm saying it was a dirty play, because if you're going to come at my man Kelly Olynyk like that for basically doing the same thing, Tristan Thompson's a filthy player. Let's move on. Kevin Love, he's the worst. His face is very annoying. He's very good at basketball. He's very smug. He used to be obese. I saw a picture of him tonight at UCLA, and he was a fat, fat man. And now he's skinny. Looks like he's a could be a GQ model. I hate his face. He's terrible. Kelly Olynyk getting booed on the Cavs court is just awesome, especially when he's letting it flow. We all know villain Kelly. Kelly's the best Kelly. So there you go. He's just he's made to be booed. He's made to be a villain. And he really made a pain in that. There was one play where Kelly just exploded to the rim and finished with a finger roll, as only Kelly could, over Kevin Love. And it was fantastic. Let me check Kelly's final score here. He ended up with 15, only knocking down 1-3, but was 4-for-4 from the line. That's vintage Kelly Olynyk. That's game 7 Kelly Olynyk right there. That's that's amazing. You know what was weird was John Oates was courtside for the Q, and I didn't know he was a Cavs fan. I thought Holland Oates came from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, where I am right now. I've always kind of claimed them, not really claimed them, but identified them as a Philly band. And I'm a huge Holland Oates fan because they fucking kick ass. So that was really just kind of startling to see him courtside. But it was even more startling just to see his actual face, because he is not looking good. No mustache, which is what John Oates is known for. He probably shouldn't go out in public anymore, just make people listen to the hits. Little story time, taking a side street here on Jam's Junk Drawer. One time I went to a Hall & Oates concert. I was about 14 years old. But unbeknownst to me, it was a Hall & Oates Christmas concert. So for the first hour and a half, I had to listen to Christmas music. And then finally they played the hits. I mean, it all ended up being all right because they got to the hits. But sitting through 2 hours of Hall & Oates Christmas music was terrible. Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson really kind of – I know Kevin loves the Cav. I've said I wanted to hate the most, but Tristan Thompson tonight was dominant on the glass. He kind of had a lot of attitude, especially against Marcus Smart. One of my tweets before the series even started was, man, I'm going to get really frustrated by Tristan Thompson offensive rebounds. That happened tonight. He's damn good. He's a very good player. It's extremely frustrating to play against him. But in the end, I respect him too much to hate him. So it really comes down to Kyrie Irving. And I really hate him for the whole flat earth thing. Like, that is just, one, just irresponsible and willingly stupid. And it just deserves zero respect. Also, he went to Duke. That's not a very good, like, you can't really respect that. But the whole flat earth thing, he doesn't get nearly enough shit for that. That's one of the most idiotic things in the world. He needs to calm down. It's really a competition between him and Kevin Love. But I think when it comes down to it, my heart wants to hate Kevin Love because of his stupid face. But my brain says hate Kyrie Irving because of his stupid takes on science. That just makes zero sense. Moving on, Jonas Jerebko. I already mentioned his physicality tonight, but he threw Kevin Love to the ground and then yelled at him twice to stop flopping, and to get up. That's just funny to me. I mean, it's classic Jonas. The Swede's going to come in. He's going to look like a James Bond villain type, and he's just going to yell at you. And he's got that intensity, and I damn sure expect him in Game 4. Marcus Smart tonight, you want to know how it was a crazy good night for him? He got fouled on heaves twice. That's absolutely absurd. Marcus Smart's been taking heaves for the entire season. They've never gone in. But tonight he actually made them, turned them into multiple foul shots, and they actually ended up being the difference in a game that ended up being a one-possession game. Finally, we're just going to end up with, there's a couple possessions down the stretch. I think I mentioned this early in the podcast, but, you know, I've been kind of rambling for 20 minutes here, so who knows. But Avery Bradley dominated Kyrie Irving for, it felt like, three or four possessions in the fourth quarter. One time getting direct steal, another time forcing some turnovers. Avery Bradley is the best on-ball defender in the NBA. I know the metrics people out there, I didn't mean to say that disparagingly, but the metrics people out there will say his general defense is not as good because he's so focused on-ball, but I think there's just a certain skill, a certain kind of tenacity that he has is super valuable to stop someone one-on-one like that. And Kyrie, even though he had a good night in terms of scoring, largely because LeBron didn't do anything, he finished with 29 points, but I really think towards the end of the game where it was clear LeBron wasn't going to step up, Avery Bradley did a nice job. And then it's just Marcus Smart again with the nonsense, just knocking down threes from anywhere. Some final statistics to wrap up here. The Cavs attempted three times as many free throws as the Celtics, 36-12, but still lost. Tristan Thompson made and attempted more free throws than the entire Celtics roster. Boston had 70 more passes than Cleveland did, which just kind of shows to you the ball movement. I guess that's going to be the wrap it up. I just want to give a shout out and kind of end on this note. The cockiness of Celtics Twitter after that win was, oh my God, that was beautiful. You guys were down and out after two hard-fought games, but you guys came out throwing punches, just attacking everyone, bringing up old tweets of people who had talked shit about the Celtics past. It made me proud to be part of the community, just because normally you guys say some pretty outrageous shit, and I said kind of back you up. I would say like 60% of the time, but tonight, even the things that you guys were saying that I didn't even back up, it was just hilarious to see Celtics Twitter coming out ablazing, and that was amazing stuff. So you guys are the real MVPs. I really have to thank you for making this Celtics season a fun one. It turns out we're going to get one more home game back at the TD Garden on Thursday night. The season has extended. This means the Celtics will play at least 100 games this season, which is pretty wild, and I would say signs of a good and a successful year. But once again, Celtics Twitter, you guys doing a fantastic job. So that's going to wrap it up for me, Sam GM Packard. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at SamPackardNBA. Well, like I said earlier, Jay King and Danger Cart will have a conversation tomorrow about the cap and what the Celtics are doing this summer. That's going to wrap it up for me here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.